Here are the headlines for Wednesday, February 1st. The funeral for Tyre Nichols will be held today in Memphis, 3 weeks after he died following a brutal beating by police there after a traffic stop. After a large population drop in 2020, the population of western monarch butterflies wintering along the California coast has rebounded for a second year in a row, scientists say. But the population of orange and black insects is still well below what it used to be. Republican Representative George Santos of New York, the congressperson most associated with lying, said on January 31st that he is temporarily stepping down from his two congressional committees a day after he met with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Coxsackie school officials are in trouble with some parents after posting a photo to social media showing three students with a snowman and the caption, quote, "Today's CE fourth grade playground fun, this snowman is just as diverse as our students," unquote. One parent said, quote, "CA was trying to highlight their diverse students by essentially comparing biracial children to a dirt-covered snowman," unquote. A bill that would dramatically expand birth control access in New York has passed the state Senate and is now making its way through committees in the Assembly. The legislation allows pharmacists to prescribe certain types of contraception, which would nearly double the number of birth control prescribers in New York. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has downgraded both Albany and Rensselaer counties from high risk for COVID-19 to medium. Ulster and Dutchess counties are also medium, and Greene and Columbia counties are currently considered low. Governor Kathy Hochul will unveil her new budget proposal today. Her proposal will include allocating more than $337 million to fund programs that are intended to help stem gun violence, including youth employment and gang prevention programs. And a cold front is expected to drop temperatures locally below zero this weekend.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we have a busy show today. We're going to hear Mayuka Fujino's interview with Dave Decker, the land steward of the Rheinstrom Hill Audubon Center and Sanctuary in Hillsdale, talking all about local birds from her new Bequency show on WGXC. We'll also hear the Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate as the cold is coming. And we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and more on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Controlled. On air, in air, channel, connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, February 1st. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Patricia R. Doxey reports for the Daily Freeman that Representative Mark Molinaro has introduced a bill that would create a comprehensive database of agencies that provide support services and resources available to individuals with intellectual, physical, and developmental disabilities. The Red Hook Republican said on January 31st that the, quote, Think Differently Database Act would offer a, quote, single point of access, unquote, for individuals and families in need of those services and resources. Molinaro said in a press release, currently many individuals with disabilities, families, and caregivers don't know what services are available to them, unquote. He said those seeking services are forced to navigate, quote, a confusing patchwork of federal, state, and local resources to find and access the services they need, unquote. The bill, co-sponsored by New Jersey Democrat Representative Mickey Sherrill, would provide, quote, a one-stop shop for locating resources that support and empower individuals with disabilities, unquote. The measure would require the Secretary of Health and Human Services to create a comprehensive website that includes federal and state resources available for those with disabilities, resources that connect individuals, families, and caregivers with healthcare, mental health, and other community-based services within state Medicaid programs, and a zip code feature to help individuals locate resources in their community. One of Molinaro's children is on the autism spectrum, and as a result, he devoted his efforts as Dutchess County executive to changing the way individuals, businesses, organizations, and communities relate to those with special needs through his Think Differently initiative. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Mid-Hudson News reports that the Dutchess County Sheriff's Office is looking into several cases of local young people being blackmailed via social media in the past week. A perpetrator befriends a youth on social media, pretending to be someone their age. At some point, the child is asked to share explicit photos of themselves. Once the photos are shared, they blackmail the child by telling them the photos will be posted and shared with others unless money is paid. In some cases, the perpetrator asks for money in the form of gift cards. So far, the sheriff's office has one case in which the perpetrator did post the photos after not receiving the money demanded. Law enforcement is asking that anyone with information about these cases who thinks they may be a victim or knows someone who was a victim are asked to contact Detective Cohen at 845-486-3020 or via email at jcohen@duchessny.gov. The sheriff's office can also be reached via the tip line at 845-605-CLUE, that's 2583, or dcsotips@gmail.com. All information will be kept confidential. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com. Raga Justin reports for the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul January 30th vetoed the Grieving Families Act, legislation that would have drastically amended state law related to wrongful death civil claims. In a veto message, the governor said the legislature passed it without full consideration of its impacts, but indicated she is open to negotiating a change in the current statute. The vetoed measure would have expanded the categories of people who could seek damages related to a wrongful death to include those suffering emotional anguish as well as economic losses. It would also have extended the 2-year statute of limitations to bring a wrongful death case by 18 months. The governor wrote in an op-ed published in the Daily News that lawmakers never conducted, quote, a serious evaluation of the impact of these massive changes on the economy, small businesses, individuals, and the state's complex healthcare system, unquote. In her veto message, Hochul blamed the legislature for failing to negotiate a scaled-down bill. When asked if she believed the legislature had done its due diligence, Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins noted its long legislative history and said the measure had been discussed innumerable times. The New York Trial Lawyers Association had strongly lobbied Hochul and her staff in support of the legislation, and only a handful of lawmakers voted no, including State Senator Neil Breslin, the head of the Senate's Insurance Committee. State Attorney General Letitia James voiced her support. Quote, the wrongful death laws in New York are antiquated, regressive, and must be changed, unquote, James said last week. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, February 1st. Local early morning temperatures range from 8 degrees in Medusa to 22 degrees in Ancrum. Regional average soil temperature is 34 degrees. Snow falls today about 80 to 100 miles away in Watertown, and briefly some is expected to hit the city this afternoon. We also have a snow report in. Halcott Center has 1 inch reported since yesterday. Also, Middleburg comes in at 1.2 inches. No snow is expected for the Twin Counties today. A high of 31 happens at 2 p.m. Layer up, grab hats and gloves as conditions will be frigid today with varying cloud cover. 17 degrees overnight takes us into a warmer but windier Thursday with a high of 38. Overnight, temperatures slide slowly and steadily, hitting 17 degrees by dawn. On Friday, winds get gusty and temperatures keep failing at chutes and ladders. A drop to 9 degrees by dark is expected. Overnight, the winds stay gusty and temperatures drop to negative 5 degrees. Warning, warning, Dr. Robinson. Things are going to get weird. Some normal cars won't start. Electric cars will lose some considerable range, and power is going to go out for some. Prepare for it now. We'll talk about that some more on tomorrow's Better Weather and tomorrow night's Thingularity radio program happening right here at 7 p.m. Sunset today will be at 4:54 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:04 a.m. Looking way up, we see an almost eerie quiet on the stellar front. X-class flare chances are at 5%. There are no significant coronal holes or plasma streams to comment on. Solar winds are still a gentle breeze, coming in at 361 kilometers per second at 4.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 65. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Stay warm out there.
Signal Hill, Newfoundland, Thursday morning, December the 12th, 1901.
Siamo lieto di poter rievocare in poche parole le esperienze delle prime trasmissioni radiotelegrafiche a grandi distanze da me felicemente eseguite attraverso l'Oceano Atlantico il 12 dicembre 1901. Queste esperienze provarono conclusivamente che la trasmissione e la ricezione delle onde elettriche non erano affatto limitate, come a quel tempo credevano tutti gli scienziati alle brevi distanze, bensì potevano essere utilizzate per le comunicazioni fra il vecchio ed il nuovo mondo.
Linda na mobalila, pipa pipa. Pipa Numero en adorce Linda na mobalila Benga 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 Anga chale plefo Kata pafkos
Mabingi bango de bala bashike
Yeah Benga 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 bango Bashali kata banay Babo tito neglige banate Benga 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 bango Benga 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 bango
Ngai baba kana nze mama nanga atuna ngoko
baba nanga
mose baba
Benga, 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 bango
Benga, 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 bango
Benga, cabana,
I think
it up with the man of a
Numero 1 à Dorche, Linda dans mon palais là.
That was Mbangwanga Star with Shegui from their 2015 album From Kinshasa.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Politics too often gets in the way of doing what every American knows is common sense. Here we find ourselves again, Mr. President, having the same conversation with no action having happened so far.
South Carolina Senator Tim Scott does not want to see politics and partisanship get in the way of making changes to policing. After the death of Tyree Nichols, Scott wants to see Democrats and Republicans come together to make changes with police de-escalation tactics. And he's not alone. Texas Senator John Cornyn is hoping to improve the way police interact with people in custody. In 2022, Cornyn's Law Enforcement De-escalation Training Act was passed, requiring the Justice Department to develop de-escalation tactics, alternatives to use of force, and methods to safely respond to someone experiencing a mental health crisis. He says preventable tragedies like Nichols' death need to be avoided.
Use of force should only come into play when absolutely necessary. And this legislation will provide law enforcement officers with the knowledge of what alternatives are available to them.
Members of Congress are calling for a new vote on the Equal Rights Amendment. The idea was first presented nearly a century ago and passed by Congress in 1972. It failed to gain ratification by the required 34 states by the deadline in 1982. A total of 38 states have ratified it at one time, and 5 have since rescinded their votes, so it would require a new round of voting to be added to the Constitution. Hawaii Senator Mazie Hirono feels had it passed then, it could have affected recent historic decisions.
I agree with the scholars who say that if the ERA had been in effect,
Perhaps the Supreme Court would have had to pause before doing away with protections under Roe because they would be discriminating against pretty much a gender-specific medical procedure.
House Republicans have approved a bill to end the COVID-19 federal public health emergency overnight, instead of in May, as President Joe Biden has announced. It's almost certain to fail in the Senate. The bill was introduced by Kentucky Representative Brett Guthrie, who feels the emergency needs to end now.
President Biden has taken too long to act on this statement last September that the pandemic is over, which is why I am moving forward with my bill to end the COVID-19 public health emergency and finally restore checks and balances between Congress and the executive branch.
New York Representative George Santos has voluntarily stepped down from his two committee appointments, but says he will be cleared by an investigation into his campaign financing and claims he made about his personal life while running for office. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Despite the hundreds of threats to election workers after the 2020 and 2022 elections, a bill in the U.S. Senate which would have made intimidation of election workers a federal crime failed in December. The Election Worker Protection Act was introduced in September 2022 by Senators Amy Klobuchar and Dick Durbin. The bill was co-sponsored by 17 senators and had the support of 15 secretaries of state around the country, but it failed due to lack of Republican support prior to the end of the 117th Congress. Had it passed, the legislation would have provided funding for election worker safety and made threatening, intimidating, or coercing election officials a federal crime. It would have also expanded the definition of election work to include the counting of ballots, canvassing, and certification of elections. To prevent doxing, unauthorized release of an election worker's personal information, grants would be available to help municipalities keep addresses and key information safe. To replace those election workers who have stepped down from their post, the bill would have provided funding for recruitment, training, and retention of election workers. Democracy advocates are hopeful the Election Worker Protection Act will be reintroduced in the new Congress. In the meantime, states will need to take immediate action to keep the wheels of democracy turning. We have links to the legislation, articles, and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
normal.
...2023 new music there from Paramore. News is the name of that song.
You're listening to Bequency on Waveforms WGXC Radio. This is a radio program about birds and bird people in our community in Columbia and Greene counties and surrounding areas here in the Hudson Valley. My name is Mayuko and I'm the host of this program, Bequency. The first local bird person I interviewed for this program is Dave Decker. Dave Decker is the land steward of Reinstrom Hill Audubon Center and Sanctuary in Hillsdale, Columbia County. This interview took place last November 2022, so I hope you enjoy it. Thanks again for listening. So glad to have you here with me today. Let's listen to the interview.
Reinstrom Hill Audubon Center and Sanctuary is a just over 1,000-acre nature sanctuary here in Columbia County. Audubon New York uses it as our demonstration forest area, where we teach landowners how to manage their forests and how to do bird-friendly and wildlife-friendly and climate-friendly forest management on lands. We do landowner workshop, forester trainers, and general programs for the public to teach them about healthy forests and issues with the forests in the area.
Should have asked you to introduce yourself.
My name is Dave Decker. I'm the land steward here at Reinstrom Hill.
So you said the landowners participate in your program to learn climate-friendlier operation, I guess I could say.
Mm-hmm.
What's the protocol for them to participate?
So we'll hold events and they'll come if they're interested in forest management. People who own forests in the area will come and we'll talk to them about, you know, the proper techniques to do forestry,
mm-hmm.
where it's both, you know, optimal for, you know, birds and wildlife and climate, but will also provide some economic benefit for the landowner potentially. A lot of people need their land to earn money. So we try to make it as environmentally conscious as possible. And we also, you know, point people to foresters who have ethics and are trained to do bird-friendly forestry, and assist them sometimes in getting the funding. There's a lot of programs run through the state where they can get funding to do forest management on their land for birds and wildlife and to have a more sustainable and resilient forest through climate change.
These are a little more personal questions, I guess.
Okay.
Could you describe what your local favorite bird looks like and tell us why you like it?
Locally, one of my favorite birds is the ovenbird.
Ovenbird,
uh-huh. Yeah. It's a small forest-dwelling bird. It's one of our indicator species here at the sanctuary to show that our forests are becoming healthy and doing well.
Hmm.
It needs a big tract of healthy forest. They're pretty shy. You don't see them a lot of times, but you hear them a lot walking through the woods. They have a really distinct call where they say, teacher, 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 really loudly. It's a little brown.
With a dot
yep,
on the
dots
chest.
On its chest. It's interesting because even though it's a forest bird, it nests on the ground.
Oh, okay.
And makes a little, you know, pot-bellied stove oven type nest, which
is
where it gets
where
its name from. But it's rarely seen, but you hear it a lot walking through the woods.
I've only seen it once back in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any here, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe
in the springtime, you don't see them a lot, but you'll hear them walking through a nice forested area quite frequently.
So if we wanted to, well, you said it's hard to see it, but if we wanted to see it, we should look at, like, the ground?
Yeah, so it forages along the ground, like going through the leaf litter for bugs and insects and worms and things like that. So it's mostly on the ground.
I see.
And short shrubs and things like that. In the deep in the woods.
And the voice, the chirp, would be the sign, so you kind of try listen
yep,
first.
Yeah, listen first. You'll definitely hear it before you see it.
And then you can just kind of try to follow the sound and look at the ground. That's how you find Ovenberg. That's very cool. How did you start getting into bird watching? Were you surrounded by when you're a child?
I grew up in the woods, in the Hudson Valley, and I was always exploring in the woods. And I ended up going to school for biology and traveled around doing different environmental jobs and throughout the country. And I always wanted to come back and work in the area where I grew up. So doing land management for birds and plants and things is something that I've always been interested in. And being outside and helping the environment is something that I've always liked to do.
What's your typical day look like here at the Rainstorm?
Oh, the typical day, it really depends on the season. So in the spring, we do a lot of bird monitoring. So we'll go out and in our management areas, we'll do bird surveys to make sure that the work we're doing is actually helping birds. So we're tracking to see that like the different types of management we do are getting the results we want, and the target bird species that we're aiming for are actually increasing in number. So that's a lot of the spring. And in the summertime, we do a lot of the vegetation monitoring, right? So in our forest management areas, we measure the trees that are there, see how they're regenerating, see how the forest is regenerating and responding to the treatments that we do and the management that we do. Again, to ensure that we know we're doing the right thing and that we're actually creating a benefit for the habitat there in the sanctuary.
I see. Is there like ordinary people, people without, like community members without the background of the education in natural science or biodiversity, like is there any way we can like participate?
Absolutely. We have a lot of birding programs here, especially in the spring. We definitely do volunteer programs where people can come out and help us do some of these projects each year. The forest management and some of the bird work, our bird survey work, if they're pretty good birders, you know. So definitely we really enjoy having community members come out and work with us and help us improve the sanctuary.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because I'm really, I guess, I've been doing the bird watching for like about 7 years, but there's still a lot to learn. Like there's just so much to learn. And there's always, like you can't see what you don't know if it's there. So, like you're surrounded by all these diverse you know, existence, but if you don't know, you can't see it. And sometimes I feel intimidated by not having the knowledge or not having the background and wanting to be involved and learn, but sometimes it just feels intimidating for like
a lot of the programming that we do, especially on our bird, they're really geared towards beginners and people who don't have that vast knowledge. And so we can supply some of that and teach people techniques to learn how to use field marks to identify birds, different calls. And, you know, a lot of it with bird watching is what habitat you're in. You know, the forest birds are going to be different than the birds you see at the feeder on your backyard, which is going to be different than the birds that are along the river, you know. So knowing how to tell the birds from each habitat, it can really narrow it down so you can really focus. It's like, all right, these forest birds, I know that in a forest like here at Rhynesham Hill, there's going to be these 6 or 7 species that are probably going to be the ones that I see the most or hear the most. And then you can focus and be able to, you know, listen to the calls, look at the pictures. So when you go out and look for them, you can really have a good idea of what you're going to see before you go. It makes it a lot easier that way to narrow your focus down to start anyway.
I see. And really narrowing it down to small number of species probably help us make just feel like they're neighbors or something that feel maybe more attached to our local natural environment.
And it is one of the things, even the birds that we see every day, like the chickadees, the titmice, their numbers are declining as well, and their ranges could be shifting as well through age.
Right, I see.
So there's always things that you can do to help and make a difference, like planting native plants in your backyard and leaving the dead flowers up so birds can come and get the seeds from them. Don't chop it down as soon as it dies.
Oh.
Leave some leaves out, make a few brush piles. Those things can really help benefit the birds that you see every day in your backyard. Easy steps that you can do, put decals on your windows so there's no strikes from the bird feeder and things like that. They're helping protect the birds you see every day. Mm-hmm. And so you can really gain a good relationship with those species that way. And then when you want to move on, when you can go to a place like Reinstrom Hill and see that there's bigger things that people locally are doing for birds, like forest management or, habitat improvement projects that are helping some of those same local birds. Like, you'll still see the chickadees and the goldfinches here. You'll recognize them from at home. But there, you'll be able to add a few more species to your knowledge base, species like oven bird or wood thrush that these forests support, and you'll be able to hear in the woods throughout the area.
Wonderful. That answered actually the last question I had. The suggestion of one action that we can take right away to help birds survive climate change and thrive, but that's pretty much the answer.
Native plants are really important.
Native plants.
Try and prevent window strikes with decals or where you place your feeders. Make sure you clean your feeders regularly so there's no spreading of diseases. And, leaving some leaves on your ground so that there's insects under that so birds can forage in that area. Leaving some brush piles around. Those are things that everybody can do in their yard to really help make a difference.
We've been having bear
in
the neighborhood, and I think they're coming to the feeders.
Yeah, so that is a big problem. It's try not to recommend to put feeders up until later in November, but for that reason, for bears. But that's another good example of where if you have a native flower garden and you leave the dead plants up, they're full of seeds. So while you're waiting to put your feeders up for the bears to move, hibernate, you'll still have a food source for all the birds and the native plants. Well, they'll come and eat the seeds from those plants. It's kind of their natural bird seed.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The native plants. So, a lot of times it might be more attractive aesthetically to say, like, oh, this plant is done flowering, let's cut it down. But if you leave those stems with those seeds, that'll allow you to put your bird feeders up later so you don't have the bear issues.
Oh, that's really great. Uninvited guests.
Yeah, that's a big problem in this area. It's good that the bear population is doing well. We want to support all wildlife, but we do want to reduce those bear-human encounters.
The bear's been hanging out in our neighborhood, and one of them came and left. I think it had been, picking around somebody's garbage bag, and he brought it all the way to our backyard and left it there, and I had to clean up after him.
they'll pull stuff to where they find a nice, safe, comfortable place, and that's where they'll go.
I guess our backyard is kind of comfortable. Compliments, I guess. Oh, wow. Thank you very much. That's really amazing. I have one last question that something that we saw. So we were walking down one of the paths.
Here.
And there are these little, almost like squarish holes in the rocks.
In the rocks?
On the ground.
Yeah, like shell usually, but it's like, it looked like, I mean, I don't know if it's something that would naturally form that way.
I mean, there is a chance that it was human made. This entire area was a farm. So all the rock walls and stuff you see.
Oh.
So this was entirely clear at one point. There was no forest here. It was,
it was
all farmland. So there's definitely evidence of people being all over the place. Like, you can find random stuff out in the middle of the woods all the time. But things like that, sometimes it's just, that type of rock splits pretty easily and can get, if there was a drop of water dripping there for 30 years or something like that, it can definitely make a hole like that. But I can't discount people since this whole area was farmed at one point.
It looks somewhat human-made.
Yeah,
it wasn't
it could be.
Can't, an animal punctuate such whole...
No, I doubt it was an animal. It was probably either people or water.
People or water.
Yeah.
This whole sanctuary property, has the interesting history of the man that left it to
the man who donated
Mr. Reinsham. Yeah.
He sounds like quite a character.
He was an interesting person, he just bought up lots as they became available around his original piece of land. That's why it's so irregularly shaped. But yeah, he actually started to reforest it as soon as he bought it. Like, he wasn't interested in farming. He wanted it forested. So he did plant a lot of trees and do a lot of things to reforest the property. But yeah, he was an interesting person who did, created this great place for us to work and visit. So.
Okay, thank you. This was a mystery for us.
Yeah.
We've started seeing it, and we saw a bunch of them. It's like, what is this?
Yeah.
That's something I noticed since I moved to the upstate. I only been here for 2 years, and I had lived in the city before that my whole life. And so now I'm like, my mind is blown all the time. It's like seeing a lot of things and knowing that I have no clue what they are, which also means that there are a lot of things to learn, which is a lot of like fun that I can have from it. But
I've been up here in the woods my whole life, and there's still stuff like I see and have no idea. There's still a lot for all of us to learn. But yeah, it's hard to say sometimes whether it's natural or man-made, since people have been here for hundreds of years,
right,
are like in these spots, so you can really never tell sometimes. At least I can't, a geologist might.
Okay, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Dave Decker, for the time to speak with me. You can support his work at Rainstorm Hill Audubon Center and Sanctuary by participating in their volunteer programs, where people can come and help them do some field work on the sanctuary. Also, you can attend other community programs and donate to the sanctuary from their website at New York, which is NY, ny.audubon.org/Rainstorm Hill, which spells RHEINSTROMHILL. Probably faster to just Google Rainstorm Hill Audubon Center and Sanctuary, and you'll find more information on their website. The sample audio I played during the interview, the audio of Ovenbird, was from Stokes Field Guide to Bird Songs, Eastern Region, by Lang Elliott with Donald and Lillian Stokes.
Stay tuned to WGXC today. Mayuko Fujina will be back at 11 a.m. with her music show, Mirage Station. At 10 a.m., it's time for the Modern Jet Set Show on WGXC with Lee Fields, 10 Tricks Point Never, and Dry Cleaning featured this week. And at noon, stay tuned to WGXC for a Tom Verlaine tribute after the television songwriter and guitarist passed away over the weekend. Spike Priggen will feature 2 hours of Tom Verlaine's music and more after the local news at noon today on WGXC.
World crashes in into my living room. Television made me what I am.
December.
We are just good friends.
I'm a
television man.
We'll be right back.
It's alright if you don't. I know I play low, you're running away, honey. I got that feeling you want. There is no sense in pretend. You're right, give you away. The sense in ways that the feeling right, and we set out this.
It's alright. It's alright if you don't. I'm not afraid of you running away, honey. I get the